Sermon 2. Those who give off the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. The method of preaching the gospel by the early evangelists. The evangelists of the old days went on evangelistic journeys, like the 12 disciples of Jesus. They would visit a certain region and introduce Jesus Christ to the people they met for the first time. They propagated, "Jesus is our Savior. He is the one who came to this earth, received baptism from John, received the transfer of the sins of the world, hung on the cross and died, and resurrected again to give salvation to those who believe." When the disciples of Jesus preached the gospel like that, among the listeners, there were those who accepted it in their hearts by faith, and there were also those who did not. Therefore, Apostle Paul said, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible compares the ministry of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit to a smell. The old evangelists preached the gospel by walking with their own feet, but today we stay in one region, doing pastoral ministry, and preach the gospel to the people of that region. Times have changed a lot, so in the old days they testified the gospel only with their mouths, but now it has become an era of preaching the gospel through audiobooks, e-books, and paper books. The fragrance of Christ is the smell of life and death. At any rate, to us who preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, we become those who manifest the fragrance of Christ. Among the people who meet us, to some it becomes the smell of life, and to some it also becomes the exact opposite smell. Like this, we are the letters of Christ, and those who testify of Christ. At the same time as those who emit the smell of knowing Christ in every place, we are also evangelists of God's gospel. Just as the old evangelists preached the gospel with their mouths, today we are giving off the fragrance of Christ through literature. When we make and send sermon booklets, the people who read them come to receive the blotting out of sins. We are transmitting the smell of knowing Christ through sermon booklets. Serving the gospel, all ministries are for Christ. Everything we do becomes the work of propagating the gospel. This week, we plan to carry out the ceiling construction of the retreat center. Because we installed glass on the roof, we must allow natural light to come in. If we block the ceiling with plywood, the meaning of installing the glass disappears. So we will purchase wire mesh, paint fiberglass mats treated with negative ions on the front and back, and then use them as ceiling finishing materials. From the front, the glass above will be visible, and from a 45-degree angle, natural light will come in through the holes, while the design will come out neatly. If you are worried about ultraviolet rays during worship, you can just cover the glass with a shade net. Like this, electrical facility construction, ceiling finishing, waterproofing work, etc. All of this is part of the ministry to manifest Christ. While doing this work, I think it is the same as the ministers preaching the gospel overseas. Because through the ministry where we become the calyx, support, people come to know the gospel of the water and the Spirit and receive the elimination of sins in their hearts. In fact, the method of preaching the gospel through these sermon booklets is often more beneficial to the recipients as well. To meet a person directly and preach the gospel, it is very difficult because one must grasp all of that person's growth environment, emotional scars, knowledge level, character, etc., and then preach the word accordingly. Some people are very stubborn, so just because the gospel is preached once does not mean they believe it right away. One must uncover that person's sins and clearly preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit to them. Therefore, the work of preaching the gospel is by no means an easy task. It is a task possible only by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Between preaching the gospel domestically and preaching the gospel overseas, one cannot say which is easier. Both are equally the work of serving Christ. Rather, there are times when the method of preaching the gospel through the calyx ministry is more effective. Repairing the retreat center and preventing fire hazards is also one of the works of serving the gospel. We hold retreats there twice every year, and if casualties were to occur due to a fire, the damage would be enormous. Using non-combustible materials and establishing safety measures to prevent such accidents is also part of the gospel ministry. All the big and small things done in the church are all works of serving the gospel. To serve the gospel, all sorts of elements are entirely necessary. Some ministers might think that even if the retreat center is well maintained, only those who live nearby receive the benefits. That is not so. Just because they are close does not mean they have the time to go every day. Even while working past 12 midnight, everyone is equally serving the gospel. This week, we will proceed with the internal electrical facility construction and ceiling finishing work of the retreat center. After the retreat is over, if we finish the coating inside, we will have to run the heating and cooling units less, so the electricity bill will also be greatly saved. Do not adulterate the Word of God. Apostle Paul and the old evangelists purely preached the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Apostle Paul was a man rich in philosophical learning, but when he preached the gospel in philosophical language in one region, he experienced that people did not pay attention to God, and only the fact that he spoke well became the topic of conversation. After that, he abandoned the scholarly language of the world and determined to preach only the word of the cross, which is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 together. For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Even at that time, numerous people altered and preached the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. They also added to or deleted from the words of the biblical text. Even today, there are people who claim that there is a gospel of Judas, in addition to the four gospels. In the old days as well, numerous people made the words of the Bible complicated. However, all of that is false teaching. If one adulterates and preaches the Word of God, the Holy Spirit cannot work. We must preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that God has done exactly as it is. Even today, some people apply the words of theologians to the interpretation of the text. However, if preached in that way, people cannot be saved from their sins. In our sermon booklets, There are no quotes from other theologians or philosophers. Nevertheless, people read our books and say, "It is truly pure and contains the core of the words of the Bible." Some people, while studying the curriculums of various mission organizations, read our books and say things like this: "I also bought and read theological books in the past, but it only made my head dizzy. So I returned to the Word of God, was able to purely know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and received salvation by believing faith. Therefore, we who believe that gospel word preach it exactly as it is written in the Word. We preach the word of testimony, saying, 'Because Jesus Christ was baptized by John and received the transfer of the sins of the world, he was crucified, received the judgment of sin, resurrected from death, and has now saved us from all our sins once and for all.'" Apostle Paul also purely preached the message of the cross. If there were no Pauline epistles, it would have been difficult to prove the gospel of the water and the Spirit that we preach today with the Bible. Apostle Peter said, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" That is, they testify that Jesus was baptized by John, received the transfer of the sins of the world onto his own body, and became our Savior through his death and resurrection on the cross. Two reactions occur when we preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit to people. The gospel of the water and the Spirit that we preach gives off a fragrance that manifests Christ. Among the people who encounter our sermon booklets, there are two categories of people regarding the gospel of the water and the Spirit. One category is those who greatly rejoice in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, believe it, and are thankful. And another category is those who do not accept it in their hearts and slander the gospel word. They speak slandering words when we say that one can be saved from sin by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. They wonder, saying, "People live always committing sins, so even if Jesus was baptized by John, how can there be no sin?" These are words spoken because they have not accepted this gospel. People strongly rebel like this, but those who accept the gospel word in their hearts finally rejoice, saying they have met the Savior Jesus through faith. If you also preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit yourselves, you will come to experience this. If they accept the gospel word of the water and the Spirit into their hearts, intimate fellowship is achieved between them and Jesus, but there is no communication with those who reject the ministry of Jesus' baptism. Even with those who were friends before we preached the gospel of the water and the Spirit to them, the relationship sometimes becomes awkward. It is because the devil inside people works within their hearts against the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that we preach, stirring up a heart that hates us. I also preached the gospel to my family and friends, but when they could not understand the gospel word, our relationship became awkward. Therefore, to some, it becomes an aroma leading to death, and to others, it becomes an aroma leading to life. However, we are the letters of Christ, and those who give off the fragrance of Christ. Preach the pure gospel word of the water and the Spirit to people. As we purely preach the gospel, people graft together Jesus' baptism and the blood of the cross in Jesus Christ as one, and receive the elimination of sins in their hearts by faith. The gospel must absolutely be preached purely. It is not something that can be preached by speaking well. It says, "Jesus came to this earth, was baptized by John the Baptist, received the transfer of our sins of the world, went to the cross, was crucified, resurrected from death, and became the Savior of sinners. Such a gospel word becomes preaching the gospel word of the water and the Spirit most purely, just as it is in the words of the Bible. Those who preach such a gospel are different from the gospel word preached through theological doctrines. People read our sermon booklets and say, "The content is pure." It is because, although it seems easy, the truth of the gospel of salvation is contained within it. Some people say that they reread the exact same book 3 or 4 times. They say the reason is because they are drawn by the word of salvation. God does not want to propagate the gospel word of the water and the Spirit only through people who speak well. Rather, He wants to use people who believe the pure gospel word of the water and the Spirit. When our co-workers also preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit to the public, they must testify by faith, based on the pure word of God. First, they must read the words of the Bible, know what those words are teaching, and testify. Even when plowing the field of a person's heart, they must speak only based on the written word of God. Therefore, passing on sermon booklets is one of the best ways to preach the gospel. If they read the book and receive in their hearts the redemptive ministry of the Lord, who received the transfer of the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John, went to the cross, shed blood, and resurrected from death, they reach salvation. Otherwise, if they do not accept the Lord's saving ministry in their hearts, they cannot receive salvation. What a gentlemanly method of evangelism this is. However, as far as the content of that book is concerned, it must be filled with the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Wherever you look in the contents of our sermon booklets, there are no worldly stories. We only preach by faith the one gospel word of the water and the Spirit, testified in the Word of God. A person who truly knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit can preach it easily and accurately. On the other hand, what relationship would the words of a person who borrows the words of philosophers to preach philosophical ideas without an understanding of the true gospel word of God have with the gospel word of the water and the Spirit? The word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which pleases the Lord, must be preached. When believing and when preaching the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, it must also be done purely. Only then can the work of salvation obtained by faith occur. When testifying the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, you must testify the word of God with believing faith. You should not calculate whether people will receive salvation or not, but must focus on testifying. When I proclaimed that I would preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit through literature missions, some brothers and sisters believed with their hearts, but there were also those who did not. However, if it is a work that pleases the Lord, it must be done. There was also someone who said, "If the Lord wants it, we must do it. We must handle by faith whatever it is, if it is the work of preaching the gospel that pleases the Lord. If we do so, God helps us. He attaches necessary people to us, makes us learn through failures, and ultimately makes the Lord's will be fulfilled." The reason the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is being preached now is because there is God's help. If we live a life of faith, the Lord is pleased. If we live a life of faith that pleases the Lord, we come to live a blessed life before the Lord. If we please the Lord also blesses us. This becomes the unmistakable word of truth within God. Just as we have preached the gospel word of the water and the Spirit in that way until now, we must purely preach and serve that gospel in the future as well. Just because one has believed in the Lord for a long time, there is no need to seek a new truth. Believing and preaching the gospel that saved us, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, is the purpose of our lives. There is no other gospel. There is no other gospel besides the gospel of the water and the Spirit that saved us from the sins of the world. The Lord came to this earth for this very work and saved me and you from the sins of the world with the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. I give thanks to our Lord.